It has been helping people to become the best possible versions of themselves for over 20 years through tapping. He is a speaker, a coach, a writer, and a YouTuber. Welcome to the show, Brad.
Thanks, George. I'm happy to be here.
Excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, so personal life, I live with my wife in Sacramento and our cat that we rescued at the beginning of the pandemic. I have two grown kids who live very far away, one in another country. And I spend most of my time tapping on my face, trying to help along with other people, either online or in person, trying to help them clear out what doesn't belong, changing their minds about things so that they can feel better, do better, and live better. I've been doing this, as you said, just over 20 years. I started out as an actor and had traveled the world doing theater. Came to Hollywood to be a movie star, as one does. And while there, I met this woman, fell in love, and got married. And when our first child was on the way, I thought I might need a secondary career. So I saw an ad for a hypnotherapy school. And I thought, well, wouldn't that be an interesting career? Started doing that and building a small practice alongside my acting career. And after a couple of years, when our second child was on the way, I realized, as much as I love acting, this is what I'm here for, doing personal development work. And we left Los Angeles, moved to Northern California to be closer to our families. And through some other hypnotherapists, I heard about this energy psychology conference where they were doing this tapping thing. And I thought, okay, that sounds interesting. I'll try that. And it was fascinating, especially when we tapped on chocolate cravings, and I went from being a chocoholic to not being able to eat chocolate for 2 years. And I did recover, but I thought, okay, there's something here, and so started introducing that into my sessions, and little by little, it became my main modality, and then here we are.
Excellent. What's with your kids moving so far away?
I try not to take it personally, George.
Okay.
And it's not about their mom either. It's just my son went to school in Ohio and got a job there. And my daughter was a minor in Irish studies and thought she wanted to continue her studies in Ireland and just loves it there. So I can't blame them for finding a place they love.
You want to be an actor? Go to Hollywood. You want to learn more about Ireland? Go to Ireland.
Exactly.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit more about tapping. How long have people known about this, been practicing it?
Yeah. So tapping is based on acupuncture. So for thousands of years in Chinese medicine, they've said there's a flow of energy through the body along these pathways called meridians. And when this energy is flowing naturally, we experience our natural state of health and well-being physically and emotionally. When this energy gets stuck or disrupted in some way, we don't feel so good. We don't think as clearly. We don't make the best choices. And that has all kinds of unfortunate consequences. So in traditional Chinese medicine, a doctor would stick needles in these key points to stimulate that healthy flow of energy. We're using this tapping. It was around 1980 or so that a psychologist named Roger Callahan was working with a woman with a lifelong water phobia. And after a year and a half working with her with traditional psychotherapy, wasn't getting much movement on her water phobia. And she had been to other therapists throughout her life. And he was learning about acupressure, just expanding his horizons. And he said one day, well, what is the physical experience that you have? And she said, well, I get a knot in my stomach. And he said, let's see if we could do something about that. And this endpoint for the stomach meridians right under the eye. Let me just, tap here and see if that helps your stomach. And after a moment, she said, it's gone. He said, what's gone? She said, the fear. And she runs out of the house towards a swimming pool. And he's running after her saying, wait, stop. She goes, no, I know I don't know how to swim. I'm not going to jump in. But she got down by the water and started splashing water in her face and said, I feel fine.
Huh.
And so naturally he thought, well, that's interesting. So he starts experimenting with different patients and finds that with different issues, he needs to tap different points in different algorithms. And within a year, he put himself out of business because all of his people coming to him on a weekly basis were like, hey, see you, doc. So he starts teaching this, what he called thought field therapy. And one of his first students was a gentleman named Gary Craig, who had his degree in engineering from Stanford. And thinking like an engineer, he's looking at all these complicated algorithms and said, what if we just, there's only 8 points that we're using. What if we just tap them all in a line and called this simpler version EFT, or emotional freedom techniques. And so that was around 1980, Roger Callahan discovered that. I think Gary was learning from him in the somewhere in the 80s. And it's been growing from there. And, you know, then we're able to spread in all kinds of ways. It was around 2007 when YouTube was relatively new, and I thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool if there was a tapping video people could start their morning with? And I'll call it Tap of the Morning. And you can see why my daughter was into Irish things. And put that out there with no expectation of ever making another YouTube video. It was like, hey, I've got a video on YouTube. Now I'm part of that, and that's all there is. 6 months later, I thought I should probably have one to end the day, and I'll call it Tap of the Evening, and then I'm done. And now I have like 1,500 videos on YouTube.
So emotional freedom techniques is the technical name for tapping.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was energy flowing through the meridians of our body. Is it fair to think about this as a software issue versus a hardware issue?
Well, it's a mixture. So what happens is we have this part of the brain called the amygdala, and in the limbic system, and it looks for threats. So when we perceive a threat of some sort, then we go into fight or flight. Really useful when our brains were first developing about 200,000 years ago, and there were, you know, saber-toothed tigers or neighboring tribes with spears or things like that. And we'd go into fight or flight, but it still reacts if somebody says something offensive to us. And our body starts pumping adrenaline and cortisol, and it has all kinds of effects on the body. And it damages our immune system, our digestive system. And most of us are in a constant state of low level fight or flight, cortisol pumping all the time. So while the tapping was originally based on acupuncture, we have a growing body of scientific research showing different things that it does, including downregulating stress. In several studies that have been done, cortisol levels have dropped by an average of 25 to 40%. It's so staggering that the first time the study was done, the lab technicians threw out the results saying that's not possible. Something must have gone wrong as we ran it, recalibrated the machines, ran it again, and found, oh, no, that's actually what happened. So when you consider that most, if not all, of the issues that bother us physically and emotionally are either caused by or worsened by stress, then you can see that having a very simple technique for downregulating stress can be so helpful in all kinds of different areas, whether it's having an uncomfortable emotion, like I'm really sad about this thing that just happened, or I'm really angry at Bob. You know, he was such a jerk at work yesterday, and I'm feeling all this anger. And we feel these in our bodies. So often it's like, talk about it. Okay, well, so we're using our brain, but we're not dealing with our body. And as Dr. Bessel van der Kolk said, the body keeps the score. So we want to have a somatic component that takes the process into our bodies, where we can then release it. And then we have that freedom to feel better and make better choices. Because when we go into fight or flight, the prefrontal cortex, our higher functioning brain, goes bye-bye. And we're running on instinct. And that's when we make all kinds of unfortunate choices, like, you know, oh, I'm so upset about this, I'm going to go eat an entire pint of ice cream, or I'm going to go and break something. And so we want to calm ourselves down and get the forebrain back online so we can start thinking about, okay, what do I really want? How can I do that?
That makes a lot of sense. Somatic, that means touch
with the body. Yeah. In the body.
Got it. Thank you. All right. Mm-hmm. So And the idea that we talk it out and have talk therapy, the popularity of that, it makes perfect sense that you would also incorporate the touch. So,
Yeah, a growing number of therapists incorporate tapping in their I one of the most flattering things I ever hear is when therapists say, "Oh yeah, I have my clients go and look at your videos as homework in between sessions."
it's awesome. So what is happening when we're tapping? And does it matter how hard I'm tapping? I'm not punching myself in the face, obviously.
It's a self-care technique, George. So we want to be gentle with ourselves. I did have there was a guy who came to a number of my workshops in Los Angeles who is a karate expert, and he would be slamming on him. It's like,
Your buddy.
hey, Frank, calm down. No, it's a gentle tapping on these 8 different points, right here between the eyebrows, side of the eye, under the eye, under the nose, under the lower lip, right where your collarbones just about come together, about 4 inches below the armpit, and then the top of the head. And these are the points we generally use. We generally tap each point between 5 and 10 times, but it's not an exact number. You don't have to keep count while you're tapping. And when we're tapping, we can tap silently. You can tap at any point, and it's going to be calming down the nervous system. So I recommend people tap on a daily basis because it's energy hygiene. We have physical hygiene, like, brushing our teeth, taking a shower. Most of us do it on a daily basis, whether we are aware that we need it or not. We just try to stay ahead of it with maintenance. We don't wait until someone's holding their nose around us and going, "Oh, that's right. I haven't taken a shower in 2 weeks." But with stress, most of us don't have a way of dealing with that, and or at least not a healthy way of dealing it. Some people have some very unhealthy ways of dealing with their stress. And so this is just a great way of maintaining that, especially when most of us are walking around with a device that's constantly telling us, "Hey, here's something else to be upset about." And we take that in and we think we're fine, but we're having all the stress, and every bit of stress that we have limits our cognitive ability. And so we're not making the best choices. So there are various theories on exactly how the tapping is working. Originally, the idea that it's stimulating the same points like acupuncture is. There is a phenomenon in the body called piezoelectricity, where the stimulation creates an electrical circuit that sends a calming signal to the brain. They're looking at how it interacts with the polyvagal system, the vagus nerve that runs up and down the spine, interacts with the different organs and manages emotion. So the exact, it's not, no one has said, okay, this is all it is, it's this exact mechanism. But we do find with, like I said, the cortisol studies where cortisol has been dropped, there have been fMRI studies where you can look at the brain scans and see the activity in the brain pre and post tapping, where stressed parts of the brain are highly activated, and then after the tapping, those parts have normalized. So we see a number of different effects, but the overall effect is we feel calmer, we feel better, we feel more emotional freedom. Thus the name emotional freedom techniques.
It all makes sense. I love everything we've been talking about. The idea of energy hygiene makes a lot of sense to me, and that you would make this a tap of the morning and tap of the evening, just a daily practice. And I imagine that people come to you because they're experiencing, like the lady that had a fear of water, which is something that they feel is missing as opposed to general stress.
It's all kinds of different things. I have folks who show up asking, they may be going through a difficult emotional thing, could be a breakup, dealing with past issues that they just feel are holding themselves back. It may be a lot of it is career and financial things. They know that, wow, I really want more, but I'm not doing what it takes. Because the extent to which we don't have what we say we want tends to be the extent to which we're resisting it. We may say, you know, oh, I have my vision board and I've got this, all these great pictures of me on vacation and in my private jet. We say we want it, but we're not, you know, we're getting low level jobs or not getting any jobs and going, no, no, no. I just got to sit and think really hard about wanting it. But we're, and so we'll say we're not resistant, but it's like, okay, if I watch you throughout the day, am I going to see you, you know, making choices and doing activities that are moving you in the direction of what you say you want? Or am I going to see you doing things that are moving you away from that? And it's not that we're bad or stupid. It's that we have resistance based on ideas about it wouldn't be safe. It wouldn't be right for me to have this. Money is the root of all evil, or whatever the belief is. You know, I shouldn't make more money than my parents had. And so we have these thoughts in our head. They're, most of them are unconscious. We're not consciously aware of it. But every time we try to take an action that would move us in the direction of that goal that we've decided at an unconscious level is not right for us, we're going to stop ourselves. So it's like we have an electric fence around our comfort zone. And every time we get close to the border, we get a shock. And after time, we don't even get close to the fence. We just stay a safe distance away from it. And that's a stress response. So if we have a simple tool for relieving stress, we can start looking at those beliefs. I shouldn't have more money. I shouldn't be healthier. I shouldn't be in better shape because it's not safe for me to feel more attractive. Because if I feel more attractive, I might start dating and then someone might break up with me like they did 2 years ago. So, I'm just going to, you know, not be in shape, or there are all kinds of different thoughts and beliefs that are going on inside. So that's my job when I'm working with someone with the tapping is, let's explore this. Let's look at these reasons why you couldn't or shouldn't have what you want. And as you allow yourself to get more comfortable with having that, then you feel the freedom to make the choices and take the actions. I had a woman say once, you know, I've been to all the seminars about money. I've read all the books and I just can't make money. And I don't understand. And I said, close your eyes, take a deep breath and imagine the amount of money you'd like to have. And now feeling what goes on inside your body, say, it's safe for me to have this much money. And she goes, oh. And I said, what is that? And she goes, it's like a two out of 10 that it feels safe to have that money. I said, bingo. Now you know why you're not doing it, why you're not allowing the money. Because if you had a young child who was invited to a birthday party and you looked at where the party was going to be held and you said, on a scale of 0 to 10, how safe is it for my kid to go to that party? If it was a 2 out of 10, are you going to let your kid go to that party? Hopefully not.
Right. No way.
It's the same with us. So when we're not moving forward, it's like, because it's some part of us that's saying it's not safe. And so when we take these actions that stop us, like, you know, oh, I forgot to go to that job interview today. What was I thinking? Or I, you know, ate that pint of ice cream or whatever it is. And then we beat ourselves up for being so stupid. We have to be compassionate with ourselves, because self-sabotage is simply misguided self-love. What looks like a harmful act to ourselves is a self-loving act based on our program. And it's like, no, remember, you didn't go to that job interview because that job would have paid more money than your dad ever made. And, you know, you'd be disowned or there'd be discomfort. You know, Thanksgiving would be so awkward. So this part of my brain is going, you're welcome. I helped you dodge a bullet there.
And so when we tap, it is removing a block of energy and therefore removing the electric fence.
Cutting the wires, the electric fence.
Allowing me to step out of my comfort zone.
Yeah. So when I start to think about having that amount of money or being that healthy or whatever it is, oh, that feels more comfortable. That feels safer. That's doable. And as I feel comfortable with that, the actions that I can take, like going to the job interview, like going to the gym, suddenly it's like, yeah, that doesn't feel wrong. And I can see myself as the sort of person who would do that. You know, that's the key is the identity. When we can see ourselves as the sort of person who does that, as I love the quote from Dr. Joyce Brothers, you will never perform consistently in a manner which is inconsistent with how you see yourself. If I believe I'm a couch potato, exercise is always going to feel difficult at best. If I start to see myself as a healthy human being, maybe even an athletic human being, it's like, no, exercise is just what I do. It's not a forced thing. It's like, no, I just love moving my body.
So I spend a lot of time thinking about finding success and in whatever arena that we're trying to find success in. And it's determining what I want. It's exploring limiting beliefs and blocks that I have in my childhood and from those past experiences and the program and the conditioning. And then it's finding people that are doing what it is that I'm doing so I can identify it. And then it's taking the aligned action.
Yeah.
This is a missing piece to that.
I think so, because most people aren't aware of the blocks. They'll go to the seminars, they'll watch the folks doing it. It's like, oh, you just do that. I'm going to put that on my to-do list and I'll do it tomorrow. I didn't get to it today, but I'll do it tomorrow. And we don't ever question why am I not doing it? You know, it's like I imagine the scale between motivation and resistance. When the motivation outweighs the resistance, take action. Or the other way of looking at it is we have the why or why not, or the willpower versus won't power. So if we're not taking the actions because part of us is saying it's not safe, it's not okay. And so we want to take a look at that and question, why does it not feel safe? What am I resisting? Why am I not taking that action? But most of us don't. We just say, oh, well, you know, I didn't have the time, or things came up, or I'm just lazy, which I hate the word. There's no such thing as lazy. Anytime, lazy just means that I haven't felt it doesn't feel worth it to take this action. We're always running a cost benefit analysis. And if the benefits aren't outweighing the cost, we're not going to take the action. So if you find yourself going, well, I know what to do, but I'm not doing it, it's because it doesn't feel safe. It's like, okay, having a lot of money, consciously, I'm saying it's all benefit. Unconsciously, I'm like, you know, I have these issues with how much my dad made, or, you know, I'm afraid that I'll be robbed if I have a certain amount of money, because I know that there are people in the neighborhood who are watching my bank account. And the moment it gets to a certain level, that's where they're going to come and rob me, or, you know, whatever that is. So as long as that we're talking ourselves out of action constantly because we are convinced that it would be more trouble than it's worth. And when we try to look at those changes, when we try to consider taking those actions, we have a stress response, and the tapping helps us calm that down. So we look at those past experiences, like you mentioned, you know, oh, well, because in the third grade, I got passed over for hall monitor. And basically I was told that I can't hold a position of responsibility and I'm not smart enough, or whatever belief we took from that. And then as human beings, we love to be right. So we will unconsciously go about creating situations in our lives that prove that. So it's like, ah, see, there's another example proving that I can't be responsible. And now I've reaffirmed this story. You know, so we have our conscious desires and our unconscious beliefs, and our conscious mind is what, 5 to 10%, and the unconscious mind is 90 to 95%. So you can see why we block ourselves. So yes, the tapping allows us to go in and cut the wires to the electric fence and look at it and go, okay, maybe this belief about this is not true. Maybe there's another reason why I didn't get that hall monitor position in the third grade. Maybe there's another reason why these things happened. And it's not that I'm not good enough, not smart enough, can't handle this.
I think this is really powerful. So having bookending the day, tapping in the morning, tap in the morning, tap in the evening. And then is it learning specific protocols or strategies as these things are coming up through the day?
Yeah. So I look at it again, going back to the idea of brushing your teeth. You know, we most of us brush our teeth early in the morning and late at night before going to bed. But then we don't say, you know, in the middle of the day, if we, you know, eat some Oreo cookies and then say, yeah, but I brushed my teeth this morning, so I'll just wait until this evening. It's like, as needed. And there's different ways of doing it. I've created all these videos to make it easy for folks. They can just follow along on all kinds of different subjects, on money issues, emotional issues, relationship issues. But again, you can tap on yourself. It's a very simple process. And again, even without words, if you just find yourself, you know, feeling some stress, like if I'm driving and someone cuts me off or something like that, or I hear something upsetting on the news, then I'll just take a moment to calm down my nervous system. It's like, it's not doing me any good to get freaked out about this right now. There's nothing I can do. This is an overreaction. You know, even if the news is really upset and it's like, okay, but the reaction that I'm having is not appropriate because there's nothing that I can do in this moment. So going into fight or flight can't help me, but it limits my cognitive ability. So I want to be thinking as clearly as possible so that I can say, is there something that I can do here?
Getting stressed out while driving and getting stressed out from the news, those are unrealistic things, Brad.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Oh, I know. I should have come up with more realistic stories of what when stress might occur.
Totally unbelievable.
What would the average person find upsetting?
Yes. Brett, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you? Where can they give us all the things?
Oh, thanks, George. The easiest way is at my website, tapwithbrad.com. In fact, if you go to tapwithbrad.com/success, you can get a free 5-day program called Success Beyond Belief. So it's like, wow, success beyond belief, so much success. But it's also literally, it's the success that's beyond your current beliefs about what you can have. So if folks are new to this, I hope they find that a very useful dive into tapping. And then on social media, Tap with Brad, especially on YouTube.
Excellent. If you enjoyed this much as I did, show Brad your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas, or who you perceive is maybe a little too stressed out, or you perceive could benefit from this, which is probably everybody. Go to tapwithbrad.com and check out all the great resources. Go to tapwithbrad.com/success for that free 5-day program. And then find him on social media, particularly the YouTube channel, with all the great resources. And I'm excited to incorporate this into my life as well. So thanks again, Brad.
Well, thank you, George. I appreciate the opportunity to share this.
Till next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.